Tonight I'd like to explore God's part and man's part, God's part versus man's part in our journey to salvation. Now, God's love for mankind has been abundantly evident from the beginning. We see that he created man and woman and gave them a place to live in a land where out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. We read that in Genesis 2, verse 8. But Adam and Eve freely chose to sin and separate themselves from God through that sin. Yet throughout the Old Testament, we continue to read of Noah and Abraham and many other examples of God's desire to forgive his people, God's mercy. The books of the Old Testament show us what Paul expressed in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He talks about God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, King David writes, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So, can we find out exactly what blessing David was writing about? And can we discover how we or if we can be blessed by the Lord today? Well, in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, David wrote again about God's nature. He wrote, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Now, who is the us that was just referred to in this verse? Has God removed transgressions from everyone? Is everyone included in this? Well, the answer is found both back in verse 11 and in the next verse, verse 13. "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." Not everybody, those who fear him. That's the us that David wrote about, those who fear God. The ones David tells us about in this passage are as being those who find salvation in the Lord, those from whom he removed the transgressions, those who fear God. Jeremiah 31, 34 foretold the coming of the new covenant that God would make with all nations, as we were talking about earlier. And in Jeremiah 3, verse 17, he wrote, "At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts." And 1 John 4:14 tells us that this time did indeed come, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. The Son, Jesus, tells his apostles in John 14:26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you," that is the apostles, "he will teach the apostles all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And their remembrance is written down for all time in the Bible, God's word. Among the things that the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance is the fact that we need not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome, chapter 1, verse 16. And God provided redemption through the blood of Christ. That's what he did. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1, 7. So you see, God did his part. He's done his part all along. Now it's time for us to do our part. And can we discover how to be blessed? how to be blessed by the Lord, how to find the salvation and live under the protection that he promises. Excuse me. We read in Isaiah 1:18, God's invitation to those who do fear him. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. 1 John 1:9 reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Old Testament, New Testament, same story. Compare this to Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed. When you hear the gospel message, recall John 8:31-32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And one of those truths is, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We cannot know what he expects of us unless we ask, and the answer is found in his written word. God's word calls on us to repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When we repent, confess our sins to God, and confess Jesus before men, Jesus will also confess us before his Father who is in heaven. We read that in Matthew 10:32. So isn't it nice to know how to get Jesus to our side? The many examples of conversion that we read about in Acts include Acts 22:16, when Ananias converted Paul, telling him, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Everyone needs to ask themselves that same question. Why are you waiting? Romans 6:4 describes baptism as when we are buried with him into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life from the moment we arise from the baptistry. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and baptism. Those steps are all necessary in order to be blessed with the remission of sin and added to his church. In his church, we grow as Christians, guided by faithfully following his word in our daily lives. It's not just a one-time event. Eternal life is a lifetime event. Fearing God, as the royal psalmist wrote, means humbly and honestly respecting him as the creator who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Reading Revelation 20:11-12 helps us all to understand that one day all of us will stand before a great white throne and him who sits on it. In his righteous judgment, he'll direct the small and the great standing before him one final time when he says either, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Or will he say, cast out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, as in Matthew 25:23-30. So what will he tell you? What will he say? Do you want to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? That's what God wants you to do. He wants all of us to. His part is done. It's up to us to do our part. So if you need to ensure your entry into the joy of our Lord, or if you need prayers, come forward as we stand, as we sing.